Welcome to another broadcast of Studying the Scriptures. I'm your host, Dr. Todd Baker, director of Berit Hadashah Ministries in Dallas, Texas. We are currently in our The Great Doctrines of the Bible series, and we've been looking at the major doctrinal themes of Scripture. And one of them is Satan and demonology. Satan and demonology. The Bible tells us that Satan, who is a fallen angel, opposes God and man as the enemy, the great cosmic enemy, and he utilizes the aid of demons, those fallen angelic spirits that fell with Satan in their rebellion against God. We said that both Satan and the demonic forces work together to oppose God and to destroy man. One of their primary modes of operation, one of their primary mode of operation is the use of the occult. We said the word occult means hidden, concealed, or to hide. And it normally refers to man's attempts in rebellion against God and separated from Him to tap into the hidden spiritual dimension whereby they try to gain supernatural power. And we gave a list of occult activities that Scripture squarely and clearly condemns. And then we gave a modern-day list of occult activity. So that's where we're at this stage of this series on Satan and demonology. And this lesson is appropriately titled, then, The Demons and the Occult, Part 3. Demons and the Occult, Part 3. Let's continue to give you modern-day forms of the occult through which demons use to deceive man and keep them from the truth about God and His Word by erecting supernatural counterfeits via the practices and activities of the occult. We have crystal gazing. This is really big. This is a real popular occult activity that's particularly practiced in the New Age movement. The New Age movement is a smorgasbord and modified collection of Near Eastern teachings from the Near East and the Orient, comprising Buddhism, Hinduism, and forms of mystical Judaism and mystical Islam. But crystal gazing occurs when someone claims they can tell your fortune by means of a crystal ball, mirror, a crystal pyramid, and so forth. Again, it's a form of divination, and we've already defined earlier what divination is and how God, again, squarely condemns it in His Word. It is a counterfeit way of trying to foretell the future apart from the Word of God and submission to His Spirit. Anytime somebody tells you that they have the ability to predict the future without a direct and central allusion to the Bible and the Lord Jesus Christ is not a true prophet of God. It is as simple as that. We know this simply by what the Scripture says true prophecy is. Revelation 19:10 says, "For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." In other words, the central theme of biblical prophecy, both Old Testament prophecy and New Testament prophecy, is the person, work, and gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So anybody claiming that they can divine the future, or that claiming to be a prophet in a secular sense like Nostradamus, and does not arrive at the Christ of Scripture is a false prophet. And they are engaging in occult divination. Simple as that. Another form of false divination is the technical term cartomancy, cartomancy. And this is fortune-telling by means of cards, especially the tarot cards. You will see tarot cards in bookstores and gift shops, and they have certain symbols on them. And the way you foretell somebody's future is you mix the cards up, turn them over on their face, and whatever image is on there, you interpret those images together to foretell the future. It is, again, another false form of divination. Then we have chiromancy. That's palm reading. You see, in any major city, I'm sure, you go down a highway, you'll see psychic reading and palm reading available here. Well, that is nothing but witchcraft and occult divination, condemned in God's Word. Chiromancy, that's palm reading. Again, a ridiculous claim that by the patterns and lines on your palm, you can then divine that person's future. And it's false, and it is contrary to the Word of God. Then we have ESP. This is another form of divination. The ability to sense and know things beyond the five normal senses of taste, touch, smell, sight, and hearing. ESP, extrasensory perception. Using this power to be able to know things that you would not normally know by the senses. You go beyond the senses, the physical realm, to arrive at this form of knowledge. Next, we have fetishes, similar to amulets that I mentioned in the last lesson. Again, fetishes are those things that objects, natural physical objects, stone, tree, doll, necklace, whatever, that supposedly possess spiritual power. Or fetishes can be those things which spiritual entities, spiritual forces work through. Next, we have hypnosis. This is a controversial subject, like yoga is in the Christian church, because there are some people who believe in the Christian church that hypnosis is a valid form of psychiatric care. Again, it's a very complicated subject. Hypnosis, people have been able to accurately recount a crisis or a situation in a crime scene by going under hypnosis. The danger with this is it can be very subjective, and the person is in complete submission to the hypnotist. He will do anything the hypnotist suggests him to. And if he's then so immobilized and pacified that he will follow the every command of the hypnotist, then what about unseen spiritual forces that could use that hypnotist to do their will? Hypnotism can lead to demon possession, I believe, if the hypnotist is being used by the powers of darkness. Moving on, horoscopes. We've already covered that pretty much, but again, it's the belief in astrology, where one's events in life can be forecasted by the alignment of the stars. Then we have hydromancy. This is divination by viewing images in water. We have hepatoscopy. That is the examination of the liver of certain sacrificial animals and then interpreting some meaning from them used as guidance. We also have what's known as, and I'm going to have to go through these quickly, incubus and succubus. This is an incubus, a male demon, supposedly has sexual intercourse with humans, and in succubus, a demon assuming female form for purpose of sexual relations. These are two highly controversial occult phenomena. And do they occur? Some say they do, some say they don't. Again, if you believe what Scripture says that angels are not able to procreate, then at best they imitate male-female role. We can't get into this at this point. Moving on, we have the Kabbalah, which is a mystical set of writings by Jewish rabbis, occult rabbis, in the medieval period. And the Kabbalah bases its rule of interpretation on a numeric formula and sequence. In other words, when you read the scripture, the Kabbalist will tell you, you cannot just simply interpret it on the plain face of it. You have to be able to decode the numeric value for those letters. In Hebrew, the letters also stand for numbers. So you take a word, figure out the numeric value, and then from that you decipher the meaning. And it's a very complicated system of occult mysticism. And needless to say, it is not supported by God's Word. Nowhere in Scripture are we told that we have to decode the numeric value of the Hebrew letters or the Greek letters in the New Testament into numbers so that we can know what God's Word means. No, we need the Holy Spirit first to show us what the Scripture means. And we need to apply the normal rules of grammar and hermeneutics to arrive at the meaning. It's not some mystical thing that you arrive at by formulating a complicated arithmetic system. That smacks of confusion, and we know from the Word that God is not the author of confusion. So Kabbalism should rightly be rejected on that count, as well as many other counts. Then we have the power of levitation. You see this with modern-day magicians like Blaine. I think his name's David Blaine. Who claims that they can levitate themselves off the ground, levitate material objects off the ground, and so forth. David Blaine is the one who used to go out on public streets in like New York and Los Angeles and do acts of levitation. And when you watch this guy, there's this eerie, sinister spirit that seems to be working behind it. And, of course, all the attention goes to him and his supposed power to levitate, which levitation is properly defined, the rising or lifting of physical bodies into the air that supernaturally defies gravity. So, again, the Lord is not behind that kind of stuff. We have the magic, the works of magic. And these magic usually employs incantations, witchcraft, charms, potions, drugs, and so forth. Now, the magician that would show up at a kid's birthday party, I'm not so sure they're involved in the occult, unless, of course, overt witchcraft is used, then that's another story. Then we have what's called spiritual meditation. This could cover a whole wide range of mind science cults like Transcendental Meditation, The Way International, Buddhism, Hinduism, where one meditates for a long period of time without moving and does so and removes all critical thinking and just becomes a blank slate so that person can then become one with the universe. This is not biblical meditation, where in biblical meditation you actively think upon the Lord and the things He has done as He's revealed in His Word, the Bible. In meditation of the occult sort, coming from the Eastern mind science cults and religions, meditation for them is when one becomes passive, void of thought, open to the spiritual force of the universe, and so forth. That, my friend, is opening yourself up to demonic influence, ultimately, and could possibly ultimately lead to demonic possession. Then we have, let's see here, mind awareness. These cults teach that the mind is God, that the mind creates all things, that the mind is divine, and we must be in tune with that one cosmic mind of the universe, whereby we, man, can become God. I think of Scientology here. I think of the cult of Bhagwan Sri Rajneesh, and so forth. Christian Science, which is neither Christian nor science, would also apply here. They believe that through the power of the mind, one can overcome death, disease, and pain, which are illusions in our world. Then we have, and we're in the M's now for the occult, a medium, which is one who is indwelt bodily as a dwelling place for spirits. Now, they'll tell you it's the spirit of deceased relatives and people. By the way, I mentioned that show Crossing Over, where there is a medium and a channel are the same thing. He communicates with the dead and so forth. His name is John Edward. John Edward, not to be confused with the adulterous and mendacious politician, Democrat politician, John Edwards. The guy on Crossing Over who is a medium and a channeler is John Edward. And these folks, when we talk about a medium or a channeler, it's an occultist who is indwelt bodily as a voice, as a mouthpiece, and as a dwelling place for spirits. Now, they think they are the channel between the living and the dead. Very few of them actually believe that they're being inhabited and used by demon spirits. But the fact of the matter, God says they are. He is the God of the supernatural, and He knows what lies beyond our physical realm, and these people are unwitting pawns of demons, masquerading as familiar spirits who mimic the dead, convincing and deceiving people here that their dead relatives and friends and dead historical persons are actually speaking to them. Moving on, we have numerology. This is another big occult practice, and basically, numerology is the belief that numbers have magical powers to be used for fortune telling. We have the Ouija board, which I've mentioned before, in connection with performing seances. That is the attempt to conjure up the dead. A Ouija board, simply defined, is a board with letters of the alphabet on it, and it is designed to communicate with the spirits of the dead. Moving on, we have parapsychology. This is studying the supernatural forces beyond the normal plane of physical reality. We have palmistry. Again, that involves divination by the lines, shapes, etc. of the human hand or palm. We have another one called pyramidology. This is the belief in the innate power of the pyramid. The innate power of the pyramid. We talked about earlier how the Egyptians were well practiced in the occult arts of magic. We also have psychokinesis, moving objects by use of the mind and thought patterns. You've heard of mind over matter, that kind of thing. The mind, again, is the power source which one can overcome the physical restraints and limitations of the material world through psychokinesis. Then we have what's called phrenology. This is really not a popular occult practice today. It was in the late 19th century and early 20th century. Phrenology. You might have seen phrenology charts where you've got different sections of the brain. And the phrenologist would then examine one's skull by feeling the scalp, and based upon the bumps and structure and shape of one's skull, you could then tell them, that person, about their life, their history, and their future. Very interesting. Then we have reincarnation. Reincarnation is another aspect of the occult. Basically, it is the belief that living beings possessing immortal spirits or souls are reborn over and over in the cycle of life, and the soul upon death of the body comes back to earth in another body. This largely comes from the religion of Hinduism. Then we have rhabdomancy. This is casting sticks into the air and then interpreting omens from the matter in which they fall. Another occult phenomenon most popular in the Catholic Church is the stigmata. You've heard of he was a Spanish priest. His name escapes me, but he was famous for having the stigmata. Supposedly, these are the wounds of Jesus Christ reappearing on a person of great spiritual stature. Do we find that practice in Scripture? No, we do not. Now, Catholic apologists will use Paul's comment that he bears in his body the marks of Jesus Christ. But you don't have to resort to the questionable phenomena of stigmata to use that as a proof text when Paul himself mentions all the physical afflictions he suffered for the Lord Jesus Christ. And he gives a list of those physical sufferings to the Corinthians, and then read the book of Acts, how he was physically assaulted and beaten for the gospel's sake. Those things are what Paul means by his bearing the wounds of Jesus, the marks of Jesus in his body. Nowhere does it mention in Scripture that it was the nail prints in the hands and the feet that reappeared on Paul. Next, we have seance. Seance, that's simply a meeting where a channeler, a medium, a spiritist attempts to communicate with the dead on behalf of the living. Again, that is condemned in Scripture. Though the most extreme form, as we go through the S's now of occult practices, the most extreme and dangerous form of the occult is Satanism, which is, of course, by its word, out-and-out worship of Satan. It's interesting that Anton LaVey, who is the founder of the Church of Satan and the author of the Satanic Bible, does not believe, at least publicly he said this, he does not believe in a literal supernatural devil. He's actually an agnostic, if memory serves me correct, the late Anton LaVey. He actually says, I'm using Satan as a metaphor for the worship of self. And we espouse, as the Church of Satan, the philosophy of self-enlightenment, self-obtainment, self-pleasure. In other words, selfishness. That's how he interprets Satanism, the worship and advance of self. Then going on, and of course you have the other branch of Satanism where they do worship Satan himself. They believe he is a supernatural being and so forth. Then we have sorcery. Sorcery, which takes on two forms. Spiritism, belief that mediumistic phenomena by a medium is caused by spirits. And then we have spiritualism. This is spiritism in a religious context, that we can connect with the dead through a spiritist, a medium. There is one occult practice in Christianity which I just learned from this study called stichomancy, and this is fortune telling at random, reference to books or the Bible. This occult practice is also called bibliomancy. What is this? Well, the method for bibliomancy or stichomancy is this. First, a book of the Bible, or the Bible itself, is picked that is believed to hold the truth. It is then balanced on his spine, and then the person lets the Bible fall to the table so that it falls open, and a passage is randomly picked with the eyes closed, and then whatever passage is picked, then somehow one can predict the future or discern what God is saying. Now, this can kind of get dicey here because God has spoken to people in the past where they open the Bible randomly and they find a verse or a passage which speaks directly to their situation and help them in the end. But let me hasten to add, they did not do that with premeditated action, like, okay, I'm just going to go ahead and do this all the time and do it on a regular basis. That then would be bibliomancy or stickomancy, and would be an occult activity. Stickomancy not only involves the book of the Bible, but it can involve other religious books like the Hindu Vedas, the Quran. Some can even use poetry as a form of stickomancy. Then we have the transmigration of the soul. This comes from the Hindu doctrine, similar to reincarnation. The belief here is that the dead soul returns to earth in a body of a snail, crab, ant, man, etc. Transmigration of the soul. That's really pure Hindu reincarnation. This reincarnation of the West is more modified. They tell you, no, you'll just come back as a human. But they're not being honest with their roots, which go back to transmigration of the soul. Then we have telepathy. This is the ability of reading one's thoughts and minds without verbal and vocal communication. This is a form of ESP. We also have transference of spirits. This is a process of an indwelling spirit leaving one body and entering into another. Some believe that when you have sexual relations with an unbeliever, and you are a believer, or one unbeliever to another, and one or both has demonic spirits in them, that you, through that physical intimacy, open the door for those spirits on the other person to come into you. We also have talisman. These are objects whereby charms are recited and performed. The occult going now into the W's. We have wizards. This is a male witch devoted to black magic or sorcery, similar to a warlock and a witch. A witch can be also a male or female who uses occult powers for what they consider good or evil. Then we have yoga, the meditation practice, yoga, borrowing from Hinduism and Buddhism. There are the chakra points in yoga. In the West, there are 7 chakra points used to tap into spiritual power that one can tap into, whereby one can receive greater life energy forces. It's really a nebulous, subjective type of belief that lacks any empirical proof. But basically, this is all part of the third eye that exists within each and every one of us, the divine conduit from our separated individual lives into a gateway into the all in all, where everyone and everything is absorbed in the divine mind. I don't need to tell you that that is not scriptural, and it's completely against what the scripture teaches. Man is made up of spirit, soul, and body. He is spiritually dead in trespasses and sins and needs to have a spiritual rebirth from above through repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. That is how he is reconnected with the Creator, who alone gives us physical life and eternal life when we believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, who is eternal life. There is no energy source for that in ourselves, laid out in 7 different parts of the body, starting with the head and going down the torso. It's not scriptural. It is against God's prescription given in His Word for us to have peace, reconciliation, and salvation in Him. Then we have the zodiac, which I mentioned before. These are the 12 constellations used in the occult practice of astrology. So this is really basically a rundown of all the modern day occult phenomenon, and activities that demons use to deceive and destroy mankind and keep them from the gospel truth. Well, we'll pick up here next time and discuss how we what God says in His warning, what God says in giving His warnings against the occult, and why we must avoid the occult. Until next time, Shalom Yeshua HaMashiach Alechem. May the peace of Jesus the Messiah be with you.